taken chemo. Well, the doctor told her there was no tumor left. So praise God on that.
Yeah. So another story here that happened here just within the last week or two in our own family, Margaret's sister over Christmas had this pain in her back, in her lower back. It was awful. So she went and she went to the doctor, took an X-ray, and he says, "Lady, you're one of your vertebrae in your lower back is broke, like broken apart, just over a centimeter apart. How that happens, I don't know. How she could even move around, I don't know, but it was separated." And he found that out because he had an X-ray. So she came back, a few days later or whatever? Oh, so a couple days later, she's talking to her mom. Her mom is talking to Margaret. And Margaret hears about this. Margaret's talking to her sister. And over the phone, she says, "Can I pray for you? Or can we pray?" And yeah, let's pray. So Margaret and her sister prayed. Her sister goes back to the doctor. A couple days later, he takes an X-ray, and there's no fracture, there's no healing. This, yeah, yeah, we serve a good God who knows us, cares for us, and heals. He heals us.
Hi. 10 years ago, I was stricken by that little C word. I refused to call it a big C because it is just a little C. I had stage four, a lung cancer. And when I first got the report, the doctor came in and he said that it was inoperable. No treatment. He said if I had radiation, it would blow the whole thing apart because it was supposed to have been, according to the X-ray, right on the joiner of my lower lobe and upper lobe. Anyway, I went in for a few more scans and whatnot, and the next X-ray showed that it had gone down. It had moved down so that they could operate. I did have surgery. I was totally, at that time, in the arms of Jesus because I don't know why I'm doing this. I couldn't stand alone. And a lot of it is kind of a foggy to me because I was in his arms, just like when my grandson was sick. I was, you know. Anyway, I'm going on a little bunny trail, but so I went through the surgery and the chemo, and I had to go on disability when this happened. So I went to my family doctor at the time, and he had to fill out this report of why I needed this. And one of the questions was, how long would this lady be on this? And he wrote, "I don't expect her to live a year." Wow. 10 years later, hallelujah, hallelujah, you know, hallelujah. That's all I can say.
Yeah, that's a good story. I like that. Just one quick thing to hopefully not spoil the mood. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Men and women, there's a meeting at 7 o'clock about Sunday school and how we can pitch in. You know, if a bunch of people do just a little bit, the load is carried. So. Wednesday night, 7 p.m., boys and girls. Well, men and women.
I think boys might be more appropriate for some of us.
Okay. Let's pray. God, thank you for Stan. Thank you for the way you move in his life and the way you have cared for him and just the way you use him, God, to bring you glory and to serve your purposes. Thank you, God. I pray that you would reveal to stand more and more and more this year. Your leading, your will, your desires, and your purposes for him and his family and his work and this church, God, bless him. Thank you for blessing him. Thank you for blessing him, God. Thank you for being so good to him. We praise your name in Jesus' name.
I don't know if you heard what he said. He said, giver. And that's why I said maybe, you know, saying boys and girls are more appropriate for some of us here. Boy, God is good. I went to church this morning and a revival healing service broke out. I like it. More, Lord, right? More. Amen. And just one other little quick note, just sort of laying it out there, but I know that Jeff has some financial constraints. He's not able to work for the next couple of weeks. If you feel that God's laying on your heart to, you know, give him a toonie or a loonie or a 20 or a 30. Are there 30s? There's no 30s, but we can bless him. You have our permission to do that. At our meeting yesterday, we were just overwhelmed with the giving that's been coming out of this congregation. You know, we were in kind of a crisis mode here about 4 or 5 months ago, and I don't think we're totally out of the deep water yet, but boy, there's been a lot more giving. And I just want to say thank you. We appreciate that. And we believe and trust that as we give, God will bring the increase. He's going to continue to do that. Amen? And it's we just sat back and went, wow. Like over the last month, especially in December, we've had unusual, special gifts. Your generosity is noted and appreciated. It's appreciated by God, too. It's one of the ways that we show him that we love him, and that money, as important as it is, isn't an idol. It isn't a god in our lives. It's just one of the things that God gives us as a tool. He gives it so we can use it and so that we can share it. An old friend of mine who died a long time ago used to say, he'll give it to you if he can get it through you. It's wise words. So I just want to spend a little time. I just felt like I wasn't quite done last week with the whole idea of the mountain and the fountain. So some of you weren't here, and some of you who were here didn't get it. So, or maybe you did. I shouldn't say that. That's wrong. You didn't. I don't even get it completely. I'm still learning. I think it's weird how that goes sometimes, that the revelation that comes from the Holy Spirit, I don't always have the full picture. I get a pretty clear picture sometimes. Other times, it's a little bit fuzzy. And it's hard sometimes just to present a fuzzy picture because it makes me look less than brilliant. But God continues to reveal that, and he's been showing me about the, remember we talked about that the way the Holy Spirit works, he works from within, and the knowledge and the truth and the revelation that we receive, it comes not from outside, not from the mountain. We talked about the mountain, remember, and the mountain brings us knowledge. And it's all good and it's well, and there's lots that we can learn from the mountain. From the mountain, we get education and we get government, we get religion. There's lots of good stuff that comes down from the mountain. But the difference with the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit works from within me. And he actually, and this is God, by the way, God lives in me. He lives in my heart, and because he lives within me, he gives me insight, he gives me revelation, he gives me direction. He's like my own GPS guide, some days anyways, where he says, I want you to, you know, he's that voice, right? Recalculate, you know, you're going the wrong way. I want you to go this way instead. I want you to talk to this person instead. I want you to pray for this individual. And man, I just believe that as the church, we have not understood the power of the Holy Spirit. We have not been willing to receive the Holy Spirit. We have not been looking inside for who the Spirit is in us. We've just been looking for outside. We've been looking at the outside knowledge for the way things come down the mountain. But the way the Scriptures, particularly the way that Jesus described the Holy Spirit, is that he is within us. I don't know if you have those two Scriptures in John. I just want to touch on them quickly because this is what Jesus said. First of all, and I did mention this last week, you know, it's okay, it's important. To the woman at the well, he said, whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him or her. He's talking to her. will become, just get this part, it's in her. It will become in her a spring of water welling up to eternal life, okay? It's in you. It's inside. It's God living in my life, in my heart. And later on in chapter 7, he says something very similar, if you can flip to that. But whoever believes in me, you need to believe in Jesus, as the scripture has said. Streams of living water will flow from where? From within. Not, it's not just going to, sometimes when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we just want all this pouring out activity. And yes, that's a part of it. Yes, it's important. Yes, that's what Pentecost was about. But ultimately, the Holy Spirit poured out upon us so that he could live in me, so that the streams of living water could swell up and pour out and just continue to pour out. It's an inside, it's an inner, it's a pouring. It's the water that comes out of the ground. That's what we were talking about last time. It's like an aquifer. An aquifer is where the natural geyser, you know, it bursts and explodes. It's the pressure of the plates in the ground underneath, and there's water in between the plates, and there's the pressure that makes it just gurgle. And I want you to see that picture today. It's that picture of the ground. And like I said last week, it comes, the Holy Spirit moves in unexpected places, right? Suddenly, there's water under my feet. You know, you're in a desert, and it's dry. You feel like you're dying. You feel like you don't know how to get over the next little mound of the sand dune. There's no water. There hasn't been any water for a long time. You're parched. You're dry. Your tongue is like leather. And then all of a sudden, you look at your feet, and it just starts to be, you feel the gurgling. And that's the Holy Spirit, right? You feel the movement. You feel the joy. Because the Holy Spirit comes from within. And listen, when he comes from within, that's where my knowledge, that's where real knowledge comes from. I'm going to get to that in a bit. That's where, not just knowledge, it's where truth comes from. Lots of good stuff comes from the mountain. But you know, the world, for example, just, I got to be quick here, but the answer to a lot of the problems that we have in the world is we just need to educate people more. We hear that all the time. We need to make more pamphlets and hand them out. And then they'll know what to do about AIDS or what to do about drugs or what to do. Here, just pass out. They need to be educated. You need to, that's going to be the answer. That is, yeah, it's helpful. It can be good. But that is not the absolute answer. That's not solving all our world's problems. Just passing out pamphlets to people and educating people, while that might be beneficial, isn't nearly as good as what the Holy Spirit can do in our lives and in our church if we would just start to listen to him. And allow him to move and allow him to pour into us so that he can pour out from us. Okay, so now we're going to go to a really weird passage. Don't ask me why. I've been asking him why. But here's kind of Genesis chapter 2. And I have never heard a sermon on this before, ever. That's just to scare you. If it doesn't scare you, it scares me, so. Genesis chapter 2, there is this really strange statement and a passage here about what happened before man was even created. But I believe it's important that we look at this because it gives us a little bit of a better insight, I think, to how God works and to how the Holy Spirit works and how the Spirit comes from the ground up, okay? It comes from within. Let's read this. Chapter 2, verse 4. Here is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and no shrub of the field had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth. Let's just stop there. I want to read that one more time. I don't know if you heard that before or you're aware of it, but up to this point, after the creation of the world, prior to man being formed, there was no rain, it says. There was no rain. God had not sent rain on the earth. And there was no man to work the ground. Now get this. But streams came up from the earth. Streams watered the whole surface of the ground. And the Lord God formed the man. Now he forms God. Forms man, I mean. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now, I don't know about you, but I find this really fascinating. there was no rain. There was no rain. For how long, we don't know exactly, and as theologians have different opinions of it. But some of the credible theologians believe, and I kind of hold to this too, that there was no rain probably until Noah. That up until this time, God had his own way of replenishing the moisture that needed to happen, and that the created order was more like a greenhouse or like a terrarium where it flowed in sort of this cycle, but it didn't need rain. There was no rain yet. We don't hear about a rainbow until Noah, right? It's after Noah that we first hear about a rainbow, and it's a surprise. They'd never seen a rainbow before, right? So up until this time, according to Genesis 2, there was no rain, probably not until Noah. Not until Noah. In fact, we're told in Hebrews chapter 11, when the account of Noah is given, we're told that Noah was told about something, that he was warned about something that was yet to come, something that he had never seen before. And that could be just the flood, but it also could be rain, because maybe he'd never seen rain before. And so God, really, when he makes the created world, you might say, he's the first one with a grow-up. He's got a grow-up going. It's humid, and there's mist that comes out of the ground. And the way that God chooses to water the earth is it just bubbles and it gurgles up, and it does this its own cycle without the need of rain. And the other thing, and this is just another aside, and it might be another sermon someday, but you got to imagine then, if you were Noah, if this is all true, if you're Noah and God says to you, guess what, Noah? I'm going to make it rain for 40 days, that Noah probably responds by going, you're going to do what now? What is this rain thing that you're talking about? I don't get it. And that rain would have been connected to judgment. And that probably it would have been understood and even, you know, expected. They watched the rain. They wouldn't have the same idea that we have, that rain is only going to last for a little while. That when it rains, man. And it may not stop, right? So it's connected to judgment. But it also speaks to us about, and we're not going to get into this today, but the faith of Noah. That Noah makes a choice. Noah chooses to follow God. God says, Noah, it's going to rain for 40 days, even though you may never have seen rain yet. It's going to rain, and I want you to build this huge boat. And Noah goes, okay, let's get the hammer. Let's get going here. You follow me? Kinda? Yeah, give her. So, for me, what comes out of this is it teaches me, it shows me how God works. That he works from the ground swell, from the outpouring of the water that comes from within, right? That, you know what it says in Genesis 1, verse 2? It says that the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, in the act of creation, the Spirit hovered over the face of the waters. So we see that the Spirit, not necessarily always raining down or pouring out, but the Spirit hovering over the ground. And that's what I really want to make a point of today, is that the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit is the work of recreation. It's recreation. Because the Holy Spirit lives in me, I'm not saying it's completed yet, that there will be a new heaven and there will be a new earth. But there's something special about God sending his Holy Spirit. And he sends his Holy Spirit upon us so that we can have a new walk and a new relationship with God. And I believe it's fair and honest and right to say that, as a matter of fact, what the Holy Spirit does is he begins that restoration work of the garden. You understand? That where we were in the garden, we're not totally back there yet, but we're well on our way. That we're back in the garden with the Holy Spirit pouring out and pouring into us, where he's hovering over the face of the waters, and that because of the Holy Spirit, I have God living in me. Remember, in the garden, Adam and Eve were what? They were kicked out. They were banished. You get out of here, east of Eden, you got to go, because they disobeyed God. But the gift of the Holy Spirit, as he is poured out upon us, The gift of the Holy Spirit is that I now have God living in me. I have a renewed relationship. Just like Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the evening in the garden, I can walk with God again. And so can you. Do you believe that? That's good news. You should just, some of you are doing this. Yeah, I think that's good news. You know what? This is great news. This is great news. Hallelujah. This is great news because the Holy Spirit has made it. Again, I know that it's going to be perfected one day when Christ returns, but because of Jesus, because of the cross, and he poured his blood out for us, and because he has put his Spirit in me, I have a renewed relationship with God. I am no longer banished from the garden. He says, I want relationship with you, and I'm going to use the Holy Spirit to bring recreation, something new, something alive. I'm going to give you a teaching, a knowledge that you can't get from the world. I'm going to live in you, and I'm going to speak to you. What did Jesus say? He said, when I send the Holy Spirit, he will teach you. Right? He will teach you all things that you need to know. We have everything I need in the Holy Spirit. He will teach you all things that you need to know. And that the power of the Spirit is as he works inside of us. And we listen to him. And we hear his teaching. And it includes revelation, not just external knowledge that comes from the mountain, but internal knowledge and truth that comes from the Holy Spirit as the Spirit wells up to a new eternal life inside of me. Everyone follow me here? Amen. Amen. So what am I saying? I'm saying that the picture that we see in the garden, I think it's a semblance of the picture that we live out today with the Holy Spirit living in our lives. We have the same Spirit. We see, you know, the move and the life and the knowledge, and we see him coming from unexpected places, and he comes up to live and to move inside of us. Because like Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is within you. He's within you. Okay? Now, if we believe that, and hopefully you do, the story goes on to talk about the two trees. And I realize that I'm never going to get through all of this today, so I'm just going to get through part of it. Next week, Brother Paulin is preaching. Looking forward to that. It's always good. But I'm going to come back to this in a bit. But I want you just to hear this as we end. I want to just share this last part of the story. The two trees. And I'm just going to read, because of time, from verse 15. Because what happens is God, the Creator, waters the whole earth, it says. Including, and he uses these four rivers, and you can read this part, the Tigris and the Euphrates and two other rivers come together, and they water the garden. And as they water the garden, the trees are formed. All these wonderful trees, not just two. Sometimes we think there's only two trees in the garden. There is hundreds of trees in the garden because God is creative and he loves trees. And he made a bunch of them. And here's what it says. For the Lord God, verse 15, took the man, he put him in the garden to work it and to take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. So God brings Adam after his grow up has been working for a while. And he's got all these trees that are growing in the garden. He says to Adam, you know, Adam, I love you, and I love walking with you in the cool of the evening. I love this relationship that we have, and I want you to be my gardener. You tend the garden. And there's all of these trees, and they're wonderful, and they're beautiful, and they're tasty. And you can eat from anyone you choose. But I'm asking you not to eat from the one. You can eat from the other 99 or 150 or whatever there were, but do not eat from the one. And you know what the Word of God says? It says that every single one of these trees was pleasing to the eye and it was good for food. That means that that was true, too, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Every single tree looked good and tasted good. But I got news for you today. Not everything that looks good and not everything that tastes good is good. Right? Yeah, some of you say amen to that because you know how true that is, because we've tried some of these things in our lives and they looked like they were pretty good and they tasted awfully good, but they were not good for me at all. Right? And that's why God says, you got a choice to make. There's a choice here. Boy, how he must love us, right? He loves you so much that he gives you the choice. He loves you so much that he says, I don't want you to be a robot. I don't want to program you so that I force you to do whatever I tell you to do. I want you to love me of your own volition and of your own will. So you need to make a choice. I'm going to present this choice to you. Here is the garden. There's one tree. And even though it looks good and it tastes good, it's for your good that you don't eat of it. It's not for my good. It's for your good. And we'll get to, in the future, I'm going to tell you more about the tree of good and evil. But he says that. He says, it's your choice. It's your, what are you going to do? We know what happens, right? It's your choice. Not everything that looks good is good. Not everything that tastes good is good. Cream puffs. They look really good. And I love how they taste. But apparently, according to my wife, they are not good for me. And that's true. That's true for apple fritters and Big Macs. Over Christmas, we have this thing. We have a Dutch tradition. And once in a while, we make these things called oliebollen. And they are pieces of, they're dough that you throw in oil. And you take, I made some. And you scoop it out, and you put it in the boiling oil, and they become these little round donuts. And apparently, they're not good for you either. And actually, I got to admit that, you know what? The older I get, the more I start to believe that if it does look good, and if it does taste good, it's probably not good. It's probably not good for you. I can't think of too many. Pretty soon, one of these days, they're going to come out and say that macaroni and cheese isn't good for you. Can you believe that? I don't think they've come out and said that yet. But okay, so the point is, I know macaroni, I know all this stuff. We have a choice to make. And that's how God is, right? He stands before us, he says, choose today. You're going to choose death, or you want to choose life? You want to eat from this tree, or do you want to eat from this other tree? You have a choice. I want you to follow me, but I want you to follow me. I don't want to make you follow me. I want you to be a true son or a true daughter. I want you to love me because you love me, not because I'm making you love me or I'm twisting your arm or I'm rewarding you only when you, you know, show love towards me. So today, the word really is a word about how are we making that choice? What's happening in your life? What's happening in my life? What tree are we eating from? Because we don't just do that one time. I know that happened one time in Adam's life, but I think that in our lives, this happens over and over and over again, that I stand before those trees, and I got to decide today, am I going to eat from this tree, or am I going to eat from this tree? Am I going to do what God wants me to do, or am I going to do what I want to do? Right? Do you guys struggle with that too? What choice are we going to make? It's really a choice of whether we're going to love God, we're going to serve him, and we're going to be obedient, or we're going to decide to keep going down that same rotten road that we've been going down for so many years now. And God, you know, he does the same thing that he did with Adam and Eve. He just sort of stands there. He says, it's up to you. Do you want to follow me or not? Do you want what's best for you? Because I want what's best for you. Or not. It is entirely up to you. You can choose to completely mess up your life. You can choose to try things that you're going to wish you never tried. You can choose to do whatever your willful heart wants you to do, or you can align yourself with me. And I want to fill you with my Holy Spirit. To such an extent that you know the very heartbeat of God, that you know my heartbeat. I want to fill you with my Holy Spirit, with a stream, with a spring, that's the word, with a spring that comes from within that will never run dry. It will never run dry. But it's your choice. It's your choice. It's your choice. I can't imagine how hard it must have been for Adam and Eve to watch God do this. Out the door. You're banished. You've disobeyed. You can no longer live in my garden. And all I'm saying today, man, I am so thankful. I am so thankful that this same God, through Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit who lives in me, he lives in me, welcomes me back. You can clap about that. That's good news. Shout. Yeah. Thank God. Right. I am so thankful that I am no longer kicked out. And I know that the actual garden, the heaven that is coming, there's still some it's much better than I can ever describe to you today. But I am welcomed back. You are welcomed back. He says to you today, you belong. You belong to me. You're no longer an outcast. And my spirit is in you. It is a guarantee. The spirit is a deposit, a guarantee that I am in you. Right? Thank you, Jesus. So here's the challenge today. What is the choice that stands before you? You know what it is. Some of you know what it is anyways. Because there's some choices that we need to make. Maybe you know exactly what I'm talking about today. You know that God's been dealing with you. What is the choice? To follow him or to follow yourself? We choose today. We choose to follow him. To follow Jesus. To do the things that he would have us do. Some days I got to choose. I just got to choose to be a good husband. I have to choose to be a really good father. Maybe you need to make that choice today. A really good mother. It's hard to do. You're going to choose it. Yes, Lord, because of you, because of your spirit who lives in me, I am making this choice that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We choose to go the way of obedience and not the way of disobedience. Amen? We choose. So I want you to just ask God that question today. What is he's standing before you, and he's giving you this choice. You know, how you deal with your money. We talked about that earlier. You choose sometimes just to be generous. I'm going to be generous. I'm going to bless somebody. There's choices that we make, and they're important choices. I choose to believe in a Holy Spirit who heals and who gives us life, right? We did that when we did this morning with 25 people standing up here and we prayed for them, we made a choice. We made a stand together saying we believe that God can heal and he wants to heal, and we're choosing to believe that that's the kind of God who reveals himself in his scriptures. That's a choice that we make. You following that? It's choices that we make. And that's just the way God is. He stands there, he goes, okay. So what are you going to do? I want you to follow me. I want you not to eat of that tree because it will be so bad for you. You don't even know, but it will be so bad for you if you do. It won't be bad for me. It'll be bad for you. I want to spare you from that. What is that choice? Maybe it's a choice to stay in the marriage. Maybe it's a choice to just not do what everyone else is doing. I'm just going to ask you to bow your heads. Let's just bow. Thank you, God. Just pray in the name of Jesus that you will open our eyes to what you're saying today. Thank you, Lord. We want to hear you. I pray, Holy Spirit, because you live in us, we know that you can give us the revelation right now. You can encourage us or you can challenge us. Maybe we see right now the choices that we've been making that have not been choices that would please you. We want to just lay that down in the name of Jesus. We lay down our will, even our desires. We confess that there have been times when we've totally gone against what you wanted. There have been times when we've made a lot of wrong choices. And that there's times when we find ourselves in the same pit that we thought we'd never go back to again. Thank you, Jesus. So grateful today that you do not leave us abandoned, that you do not leave us exiled, that you, because of Jesus, welcome us home. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. And so we make a choice today, a choice to be generous, a choice to be a good dad, a choice to be a loving wife. We're going to choose that. We make a choice today to believe that you are a healer, and that you might very well use us to be the instrument of that healing. And we choose not to just go through this life never touching anyone. Rather, we choose to touch with the healing power of Jesus. Thank you. We choose today to take down every idol that's ruling our lives. The greed and the crack and the booze and the pride and whatever it is that's the tree we've been eating from lustily, we're just choosing today to say no more. No more. I don't serve those gods any longer. Because I serve Jesus. He is a lifter of my head. He is very God of very gods. He is worthy of all of me. Thank you. So we choose. We stand before you, Father. We choose you. We're tired of living our own way when it hasn't been working. And I just want to pray this morning that as we make this stand, God, would you just please do exactly what you promised to do and give us the fullness of your Spirit. Because we can't do it. We can never succeed. We can never not take from that tree without your Spirit. We know that your word says we need to change our minds. It is by the renewing of our minds that we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing. So Jesus, would you just give us an infusion of your Holy Spirit that we have never felt before? Empower us and give us life. Help us to hear you and listen to you. Give us revelation. And finally, we just pray that you'll give us the power to turn on our heel. And when the enemy has his sword pointed at us. We turn on our heel and we make a bold proclamation. I don't belong to you. You have no authority over me, enemy. And you're going to be sorry that you ever pointed that sword at me, because this sword will cut off your head. Thank you. We choose you. Challenging you. He's asking you to make a choice. I don't know what that is. I know what that is for me. I don't know what that is for you. Sometimes it's hard to know what it is for me. But you know what God's saying. I invite you to come to the altar. Find a place where your knees can touch the ground. Find a place where you can make a covenant with your God and say, okay, God, I hear you today. I hear you today. I'm going to be the man that you want me to be. I'm going to be the woman you call me to be. You don't have to do that. You can just leave. But I'm going to invite you to come.
In the crushing, in the pressing, making me wine in the soil I now surrender. You are breaking. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. new freedom, and the kingdom is here. I lay down my old flames to carry your new fire today.
Today that that's our prayer. Can we agree together today that this would be what God would want? That He presents a choice. That doesn't mean it's easy. Choices are hard. I wish someone would make some of the choices sometimes for me. But He helps us. He says, I am your help. I will be with you. I will bless you. I will keep you. I will cause my face to shine upon you, and I will be gracious to you. I will lift up my countenance upon you, and I will give you my peace. I'm going to do that one more time. Let's all lift up our hands. May the Lord bless you. Lift up your hands. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you. His face, let us shine His face upon you and give you His peace. Amen. Yes, God.